Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's message is entitled From Ash, and it is part one of a seven-part Lenten series. Today's specific message is entitled 40 Days, and it is based off of Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Let us dive into the Word today. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him,
"If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread."
But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone." Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time.
"I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them," the devil said, "because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me."
Jesus replied, "The scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and to the highest point of the temple and said,
"If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone."
Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. Amen. We just observed the beginning of Lent this past Wednesday, which was Ash Wednesday, at our ecumenical Ash Wednesday service, where we reflected on our mortality, on our sinfulness, and on our need for God's grace. For those of you that are not aware of what an ecumenical service is, it usually is services between different denominations within a religion. So in our case, the Christian religion, we're Methodist at our church. And there's a neighboring Presbyterian church who we join together from time to time to do these ecumenical services. But we reflected at this service, as churches do on Ash Wednesday, on our mortality. From dust we came, and to dust we will return, on our sinfulness and the need for repentance, and on our need for God's grace. To those who are not regularly observant of the Christian liturgical calendar and or cannot be bothered to go out to extra services, this may seem like a rather drab service to go out to. I mean, who wants to go and sit through a service where we talk about our mortality, our sin, and God's grace and the need for it so that we can repent and turn to God? I mean, it seems kind of drab and kind of blah, right? This isn't going to lift me up or feed me. However, it is an important service as it marks the beginning of the most important season in the Christian calendar. That's right. Lent is far more important than Advent. And Easter is far more important than Christmas. In fact, Advent, Christmas are novelty holidays in comparison to Lent, Easter. Now, Lent is a 40-day period of reflection, repentance, and renewal. A time for us to give up, but also a time for us to give. A time for us to slow down and reflect, something we have a hard time doing in this society, slowing things down. And it is a time for us to experience the redemptive work of Christ on Good Friday. and prepare for the power of the resurrection to catapult us from death to new life and vibrant ministry on Easter Sunday. In fact, did you know that every Sunday throughout the year in the calendar, every Sunday is a mini Easter? Every Sunday is the day we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and our life, our resurrected life in Christ. But back to Lent. Why 40 days? Why slow down and take the time to reflect at all? Life's too short, right? We should just keep going, keep moving, keep trotting along and doing our thing because we only have so much time left on this planet, right? Why shouldn't we just rush to Easter, have the He is risen hallelujah moment, exchange Easter baskets, jelly beans, chocolate bunnies, and Cadbury eggs and move on with it? Why not, right? Because the church is not, my friends, the church is not a Hallmark card community. It is called to be in ministry. And until we experience the wilderness, until we experience the pain of being reminded of our mortality, the despair we find in our sinfulness, and the hope we find in God's grace, once we realize our need for it, until then, until we experience the wilderness, we'll never, ever be prepared for ministry in this broken world. And that's what's wrong with the church right now, isn't it? We're all about the social club. We're all about bringing people in to fill the pews. But we don't want to take the time to really understand why we're Christian or what we are called to do as Christians. And that's what Lent is for. When I first answered my call to ministry, I went through a serious period of wilderness time. It was dark, and it was often a very lonely, isolating experience. I was questioned at just about every level. Criticized by some in the harshest of ways, and put to the test at every level imaginable. Now, the general church and the people who I served with at the church were very supportive of me, and I don't want to send the wrong message here. I was very much supported, still am by those people. I consider them my family, but it was a trying time. And the experiences I went through, I wouldn't necessarily wish on another person unless they are called in ministry. Because those experiences, my friends, whether they were good or bad, whether they were easy or tough, those experiences, those dark times, those reflection points, those were periods that formed me as a pastor. Now, speaking of harsh, I remember I was once told by a mentor that I was aloof. And for those of you that may not know what aloof means, because it's not a word that's commonly used today, aloof means detached. Not really caring one way or the other, just kind of aloof, you know, just detached from the things around you. Carefree. I was once told that I was aloof, unteachable, and not worth investing in, if you can imagine that. Can you imagine being told that? At the time, I had to seriously reflect on my own identity and discern if those things were actually true or not. Not only that, I had to discern not only who I was, but whose I was. Was I becoming a pastor just simply because it was something I wanted to do? Not likely, right? There were plenty of other things in life that I wanted to do. I've spoken to some of those in my previous messages. Wanted to be a computer programmer, a website designer. I'm artistic. You know, I was in bands and wanted to do that. There were a lot of things I wanted to do. And like Jonah, when it came to ministry and doing what God wanted me to do, I ran just about as far away from that as I possibly could. So that's not why I was doing this, but I had to reflect on that. Was it because of this was something I wanted to do, but I wasn't called to it? Or was it something that God was calling me to? Because if it was something God was calling me to, then no human could possibly stand in the way of what God was doing in me. And where God was calling me, whether they thought I was teachable or not, whether they thought I was aloof or not, whether they thought I was worth investing in or not, God was calling me. And who stands above and before God? In the scripture lesson today, we saw Jesus go through the same period. The same very period prior to entering ministry. He was being tempted and tested at every level imaginable. And actually, his temptations were far worse than mine. He was out in the wilderness by himself, the literal wilderness, where he was going without food and drink, where he was being tempted by the devil at every turn to do the most basic common things, such as turn stones into bread so he could eat. Surely God wouldn't mind that, right? He was being tempted and tested at every level imaginable. It was 40 dark, long, lonely, and isolating days, reflecting on who he was and whose he was. And notice, the devil even used scripture to throw him off track. And that's important, friends, because sometimes we read scripture in ways that are not holy. Sometimes we read scriptures in ways that only affirm our own biases, only affirm our own agendas, only affirm our own sinfulness. And that is not God speaking through that scripture at that point. That is the devil. And so we see in this scripture that the devil's using scripture against Jesus. But Jesus knows the heart of God. And he's not able to be derailed. And he responds back to the devil with more scripture. Now, at the time, the temptation seemed hard, unbearable even. But in the end, God was preparing Jesus for what he was about to face out in this cruel, broken world. And the tests he would undergo there were far worse than anything he went through in the wilderness. It was a time of preparation. This scripture is begging us to join Jesus in the wilderness, my friends. That's what this scripture is doing. It's begging us to join Jesus in the wilderness, to use Lent as a time to reflect, to come face to face with our shortcomings individually and collectively as a church. To repent of them, and to meet Jesus at the cross on Good Friday so that we may cling to the old rugged cross of grace and resurrect with Christ on Easter Sunday. As hard as it was for me to endure, those formative years of being in the wilderness prepared me to be the pastor I am today. It prepared me to do ministry in this broken world, and it brought me to a knowledge of who I am and whose I am. I wouldn't be the pastor I am without those formative years, without those wilderness years being tempted and tested. I look back on those times thankful. Not only that God got me through them, but that God showed me who I am and whose I am through them. The next 40 days of Lent, I will be, in these next 40 days of Lent, I will be leading you through the wilderness and challenging you along the way. I'm warning you now, that's what I'm going to be doing. There are two ways that you can respond to the challenge. You can close yourself off to it, take offense, give up, and storm out of the wilderness. That's one option. Or you can seek Jesus at every turn and journey with me to that old rugged cross of grace on Good Friday. I challenge you to choose the latter. I challenge you to go from ash out into the wilderness, from ash out into the 40 days of soul searching. I pray that you, no matter where you are in the world, I pray that you will attend the Holy Week services in your churches, wherever you are. Whether you attend mine or you attend others, I pray that you will attend the Holy Week services and on Good Friday, approach that old rugged cross in spirit and in truth so that we can together experience the joy and the tomb-shattering power of the resurrection of our Lord. Let us journey out from ash through the next 40 days and into glory. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we go through the next 40 days of Lent, guide us. Guide us to be your people. Guide us to journey out into the wilderness and to discover who we are and whose we are. Lord, for the temptations we feel during this time, whether we are fasting from food or fasting from something we need to give up in our lives, or even if we're not fasting at all and we're just reflecting on who we are and whose we are, Lord, whatever we are doing for our Lenten preparations, guide us to you. Guide us to your cross, the old rugged cross of grace, so that we may die to our old selves and be born again anew on Easter Sunday, resurrected with our resurrected Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I'd like to thank you for joining me for this message and would like to invite you back for next week's message, which will be part two of the 7-part Lenten series called From Ash. You can check out all of our website information where you can get this podcast, my biweekly devotions, and also check out the Party on John Cast website as well. In the meantime, friends, I would like to invite you to remember that you are richly blessed, so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace. Amen.